It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rodden.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you are having a nice little Thursday. It's your sports bros, Rob. That's me.
Sada.
Big Sook right over there.
Right here.
This is our Friday. We don't have a show tomorrow because Oregon is playing Purdue on our airwaves. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing we can do about that.
Like most of our listeners, Joey was so disappointed about no Friday show, he had to be part of today's show.
That's right. Yeah. We already had him on.
Yeah. He called in. I mean,
we didn't talk about Ohio State. We talked exclusively about the big Purdue game.
Didn't even know he was coming on.
And then, you know, going to eat at the Buffalo Wild Wings in West Lafayette.
B-dubs.
If you're lucky, you'll be able to hit both B-dubs and the fourth-ranked Applebee's. So
that is true. Those are the top four, restaurants in West Lafayette.
It's a lunch-dinner combo right there.
It really is. Although, don't fill up too much.
That's right.
I think, I think you do Buffalo Wild Wings for dinner.
Yeah, you might be
right.
You
do Applebee's for lunch.
Yeah, something light at Applebee's.
Yeah, like maybe a salad, if you will. You know, what are they like?
Indiana, salad. Applebee's.
Maybe some chicken tendies. Yeah. That's how they roll in West Lafayette.
And Mexico City, apparently. Don't discourage the 1 a.m. chicken tendies.
Coming up this hour, since we do not have a show tomorrow, we have to do our college football and NFL weekend look-aheads.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of good games.
Including tonight, where we get Spencer Rattler and
Nicks. Yeah, that's right. I always forget about Thursday night football.
Sneaks up on you, doesn't it?
Well, it's because usually this time of year is baseball.
Yeah.
So it's secondary.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm starved on a Thursday night next month,
then it comes.
I'm all about.
Well, tonight might not be great football, but we have no idea what's going to happen when these two quarterbacks get together.
That is true.
Well, isn't that the beauty of the NFL?
That's exactly right. Anything could happen tonight.
Yeah. It's like I have a pick'em league, so you got to go through and make your picks, you know? Mm. And I was seeing the. You want to talk about a game I have no idea about. Classic NFL, like, what the hell's going to happen there? Patriots and Jags are playing in London.
1-5 and 1-5.
And by the way, the Jags are favored by almost a touchdown.
Uh-huh.
What the hell is that?
And if they lose, they'll probably leave their head coach there.
Yes, which I'm kind of excited about. I love the idea of Doug Peterson getting Lane Kiffin, but in London.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
across
fantastic.
The pond.
It's like, eh.
Well, anyway, we'll do that this hour. Tony Bennett is retiring. Will they poach a West Coast coach? And then in the club tonight, there are some rumors about Sam Darnold and who he's dating.
Mm.
I want to bring that to you. And we have the top 2024 Halloween costumes.
Oh, boy. This is very inappropriate, I'm guessing.
I mean,
yeah.
Some are, some aren't.
Some, yeah.
You know how it is.
Yeah. And we got to talk about the sexiest animal.
We already did.
Yeah, but I found a list.
Oh, really? Who put together a list of sexiest animals?
This one is from tigerdroppings.com.
Wait, is that the LSU, message board?
Yeah, that's an LSU message board.
Is it?
Yes.
So now are they talking about actual exotic animals, or are they talking about college mascots?
This, gave us a list of the top sexiest animals apart from humans.
Where does the Oregon duck land on that
list? Yeah, I was going to say the duck. Well, not the Oregon duck, but the actual duck? That's a pretty sexy animal.
A mallard?
Yeah.
It's a good looking animal.
I think it's a good looking animal.
See, I think it could be handsome, but sexy?
I sometimes think birds of prey can be dangerous sexy. Like you get like an eagle or a falcon, you don't know what they're capable of.
You know, I like a little weirdness.
Yeah,
you know, like that one lady that was poisoning her husband. I could see that like. You could look, like, if you're in the animal world, you know that bald eagle is up to some weird stuff and will probably.
Suk wants a hawk that'll poison the Mountain Dew.
Yeah. A little something, something.
Well, look, it's never stopped us before. So coming up in the club, the list of sexiest animals from tigerdroppings.com, the least credible website to put together a list of sexiest animals.
Of anything, really.
Well, we can go with the Independent. They have the world's sexiest animal revealed. You would be amazed.
Okay.
When you Google sexiest animal, the amount that this has been discussed
is... A lot of hot takes.
It's kind of problematic.
It's easy to forget that the internet's a great place for people with so much time on their hands.
That's right. And it's always great when the Cowboys lose.
That's true.
Now the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh! Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on The Fan by Victorico's Mexican Food. Discover Victorico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or get it delivered straight to your door at victorico's.com. Number five.
How about Sabrina Ionescu?
That's right.
With the game winner last night for my New York Liberty.
That is as good a game-winning shot, or in this case, probably the worst shot you could take that won a game. I mean...
Well, a lot of people are commenting about the possession and the shot being terrible.
It is.
And before you call that sexist, this happens all the time in men's basketball.
Yes.
All George, Dame Lillard.
That's right.
Yeah.
You dribble around forever and then chuck up a crappy shot, and then it goes in and you're just the best thing ever.
Exactly.
So how about run something?
Yeah, Look, this was one of those where there was no doubt, because they ran a little just like kind of handoff, like pick and roll sort of thing. Like 2 feet from the mid-court line, and there was no doubt what she was doing in it. She was dribbling at the mid-court logo and then stepped back, pulled up, and it went in.
So the Liberty lead the Lynx in the WNBA Finals, 2-1. Game 4 is tomorrow at 5 p.m.
Best of 5 series, so they can close it out.
I thought they went best of 7.
They're changing to best of 7, I think, next year, but I believe it's still best of 5.
Because up until this point, no one wanted to watch up to 7 games, but now...
Well, until they had Caitlin Clark, travel was too expensive, so...
It's actually probably true.
Kawhi Leonard.
Boy.
He's going to be out a while again, guys.
Shocking development. He's out indefinitely to start the season.
Shams reports he is sidelined indefinitely as he deals with right knee inflammation and yet another injury blow for the star of the Clippers.
On the plus
side, he is now 33 years old, by the way.
Lonzo Ball came back and played for the first time in forever, but like the universe won't let them play at the same time.
Do you think that... I mean, look... It's pretty clear that Kawhi has a bad knee.
Yes.
But do you think a lot of this is just him coasting?
I don't think so. I do think at times he has coasted. But, I mean, when you're out indefinitely with these things, I don't think he does himself any favors. But, dude, there's no way you're, like, being a candy ass, you're missing, like, 50 games a year. I think he's an old broken man at this point. And if you're relying on him, shame on you.
What else do I have for you here? Oh, yeah, Broncos, Saints, whatever. Rookies Bo Nix and Spencer Rattler head-to-head.
Now, normally I love betting against Spencer Rattler and Drake May and Bo Nix. Great parlay. I don't know what to do here when these two quarterbacks play. I think the right side of the game is don't watch it. But if you're betting, Denver.
Look, there's only one side to bet. And that would be Denver. They're only favored by 2.5.
Yeah.
Dennis Allen sucks. And by the way, Sean Payton, Dennis Allen used to coach under Sean Payton.
Yeah.
Sean Payton going back to New Orleans, he wants this. They're coming off a loss. Dude, the Saints have no offense.
But No. Snoop thinks Bo Nix might be bad, and he has to go into New Orleans, one of the hardest places to play in the NFL.
I understand.
New Orleans
is
riddled with injuries, too.
Yeah, New Orleans, and the Broncos have a good defense.
Yeah, this is great, the right defense. Side of this is Denver. And by the way, oh, okay, I thought...
Did he strike out?
He struck out.
Luke Weaver is an assassin.
The check swing looked... It looked like a bad call, but when they showed the side view, he went. Sometimes those check swings are tough to see unless you get the side. I was like, they called? Oh, yeah, he went.
Okay, so we're watching the ALCS. This is game 3 with the Yankees leading the Guardians 2-0. They're in Cleveland, and while Cleveland led much of the game, Emmanuel Clase, the closer of the Guardians, came in, gave up a 2-run shot to Aaron Judge that tied it 3-3. And then he gave up a solo shot to Giancarlo Stanton to give the Yankees a 4-3 lead. Now, Luke Weaver came in, the Yankees closer, with a couple on in the bottom of the eighth.
Oh, just ridiculous.
And he got out of it. By the way, Class A, that dude gave up 5 earned runs and allowed 2 home runs all season.
All year.
This postseason, he has given up 6 earned runs and allowed 3 home runs.
I'm telling you right now.
It's like Kershaw stuff.
The weirdest thing, if you give me a closer that, like, you tell me he's, like, the most, like, unhittable thing in there in the regular season, I just assume in the postseason that he's going to blow it. It feels like this happens all the time.
Yeah, and then the Yankees, their closer sucks, Clay Holmes, so they demote him.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden he can't be stopped. And the new guy that they put in there, Luke Weaver, is, like, the best pitcher in baseball.
He was a starter, and now he's just into this role, and you
hell?
Can't hit him.
Go Dodgers. I mean Mets.
Hey, thank
but
you.
Then Dodgers. Yeah. Because the Dodgers are probably going to be.
We appreciate that.
Number one today is that this was late breaking this afternoon that Virginia basketball coach Tony Bennett is retiring.
Yeah, at 55.
Yeah, effective immediately. 55 years old. Now, no one really knows why.
I watched some of his press conference and he just.
I thought it was tomorrow.
There we had one today. I'm assuming.
I saw a report specifically since the announcement that it is not health related. He
no.
wants to remain
is
in athletics.
So is that an old clip that
that might have been old. I think they said that he's going to announce it tomorrow.
Okay, because there was one that was like there was like a 3-4 minute clip that was going around, and he was having a press conference, and he was talking about family and his legacy being secure. I assumed that was...
No, Friday at 11 a.m.
Okay.
He will announce. But he has spoken before about the retirement of Jay Wright and Roy Williams and some others in college basketball. And he basically, and we'll get more info on this tomorrow, although we won't be here for it, but he basically alluded to the fact that if you can't really win, you don't have everything at your disposal to win, you have to make a choice.
Yeah.
And that was pretty, at the time, it was a pretty mundane statement.
Yeah.
But now that we know that he's stepping down, it's like, okay, obviously something's gone on with his upper management there at Virginia, and he doesn't feel like he has everything he needs to win.
Well, it's funny, because so the one that I saw today, boy, it sure sounded like a retirement press conference. But maybe that's from what you were talking about, because he was talking about...
The timing's just really weird.
Yeah.
We're a month away from the season. If you'd been mulling this over for a while and you were thinking it was time to pull the cord, the timing would, it stands to reason, be a little different.
Well, sometimes, I mean, we've seen this before, that when you're getting ready to start a season and you're about to, you know, to grind your face off, and as Rob said, maybe you don't feel like you have the tools and you know how this season's going to go. And, you know, the changing landscape, I don't think is for everybody, right? And I do think you've seen some guys with some balance in their life, and that, at least in the clip I saw, he did talk about balance and family and Jesus and all that. And, you know, the Chris Peterson thing, I think maybe this new era of college sports isn't going to be for everybody. You've won a national title, 8 ACC titles, right? You got probably enough money that you don't have to do anything. You get a cushy studio gig. You know, maybe it's just one of those where you don't feel the need to grind your face anymore.
The Hot 5-5 brought to you by Victor Rico's Mexican Food. Discover Victor Rico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or delivered straight to your door at victorricos.com. Our college football weekend look ahead is next on The Fan. All right, we got some hot baseball action tonight. Shohei has homered again.
Yeah, he led off the game with it. And then Viva Vientos!
Yeah, Vientos hit another one. So it's 1-1 Dodgers and Mets. They're in the... the first.
Bottom of one, yeah. Shohei led off the game, and then Vientos hit one.
But he can't hit with guys on off base, right?
It turns out that guy can hit no matter what. He's pretty good. So stop pitching to him.
The Yankees are up 4-3 on the Guardians in the top of the ninth, and Jose Ramirez just committed an error at third base. He had a guy in a rundown, and he dropped the ball.
No, Austin Wells is up, and then he's going to go fight a fire after this.
Yeah, he does look like a firefighter, doesn't he?
Yeah, tell me that guy doesn't double for the FDNY. He just is the quintessential New York guy.
Well, the Tigers had one of those last series. Jake Rogers is one of those guys.
That's right.
The mustache is making a comeback.
Especially in baseball.
Yeah.
All right, let's look ahead to the weekend since we don't have a show tomorrow. We'll start with college football. Of course, tomorrow night, Oregon-Purdue will be here on The Fan, kickoff at 5.
That's the game everyone's just demanding to see.
Well, it's one of those games where, you know, I mean, Oregon should win by a lot.
Yeah.
They're favored by a lot.
Matt.
But as we mentioned with Joey earlier, it is definitely like it is the definition of a trap spot.
Yeah, Purdue got a new quarterback. They made some changes. They scored 40 last week. They gave Illinois everything they could handle, and Illinois is a pretty good team. So maybe, you know.
It's unlikely, but if you're going to script a ridiculous upset, it would have all these elements.
Yes.
Night game, short rest, new quarterback that you don't have a lot of film on, you coming off a big win letdown spot. It has all that.
No question. And then you're facing another ranked team next week. That's another
and you're doing your first real travel thing. Yeah. So.
And then after that is Michigan. So it's like it's the one game on the schedule that you're like,
you
could easily just take for granted. But I don't, as I said in our Joey interview, I just trust Dan Lanning and his staff. I think they'll be fine. I think they'll win up front on both sides of the ball. And it's kind of one of those get-in, get-out type of games.
Yep, no one hurt. Just simple, run the ball, play good defense, get out of there.
Now, the better game tomorrow is Oklahoma State BYU.
Yes!
And that, I was just looking at the lines. Oh, pretty high there for your Cougs.
Yeah, the Cougs are favored by 9.
I'm 40!
Ah,
and Oklahoma State was supposed to be a top 25 team this year. Their offense has been an absolute mess. BYU was supposed to be very, very average. And, you know, here they are. And look, it's not the most daunting schedule in the world, but they eked by one against SMU. They blew out Kansas State, and then they handled Baylor in Arizona. So,
did you say this is Provo or Stillwater? Where's this game at?
This is Provo.
This is Provo, Utah, baby.
And it's tough to win there.
Yeah.
Arizona just got bludgeoned there.
Yeah.
BYU's good, but
they
man.
And they bludgeoned Kansas State there. Like,
I'll take Mike Gundy as an underdog of 10 points any day.
Yeah. And this one, let me say this about BYU, because I've watched BYU play. It's a good team. It is. They are not a, this isn't like a fluky, weird kind of schedule thing, but by no means. I think they're, 13th in the country? They're not the 13th best team in the country. They're just not. But the Big 12 is so wide open this year. I mean, who is the best team in the Big 12? Iowa State? And I saw Iowa State play Iowa. I wasn't overly impressed.
You know who I think it is, and it pains me to say this? Hmm. I think it's Kansas State.
Well, BYU took Kansas State behind the woodshed
and
bitch-slapped them. So.
Look, it's a long season. Yeah. Just because they did that doesn't mean that Kansas State isn't the best team.
Yeah.
I think Kansas State, just from, and I've watched a little bit of, I kind of like the Big 12. I think it's kind of a fun league to watch. I've watched some Kansas State. I've seen BYU a little bit. Who else did you say? Oh, Iowa State. Saw them.
Iowa State. Iowa State's undefeated.
Texas Tech is the one I haven't seen any. I don't know what they have going on, but they're
5-1, and I haven't seen much of it. But BYU and Iowa State are the two undefeated teams. I think the two undefeated teams, the two ranked teams, and then Kansas State has the one loss. Arizona State is a one loss team, and they're playing better. And
they're good.
Yeah,
they're good.
But they're without their quarterback this week.
They're good. Who they got? Who they got?
They have Cincinnati.
Okay.
And Sam Levitt not playing this week.
You know what's interesting about the Big 12 is that while BYU and Iowa State are undefeated, and Texas Tech and Arizona State and Kansas State are all 5-1 and looking good. If you look at the bottom of that league, all the way at the bottom, you have teams that could totally pull off a bunch of upsets.
Oh, sure.
Kansas is at the bottom. Look, they suck, but they're not that bad. I mean, a lot of people thought they were a top 25 team at the start of the year. They'll win some games. They'll knock off some people, especially at home. Utah is sitting there at 4-2. We have completely written them off, and I don't think we should, because they're better with Isaac Wilson than they were with Cam Rising.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they're nasty. And then you have Oklahoma State sitting there at 0-3 in the league. Gundy's going to get a few.
If they could ever figure it out.
Those are the bottom of the league. I didn't even go through the middle of the league. That league is bananas.
You know, Colorado is better than people thought. Yeah, I'm with you. That may be
one of those
weird conferences when it's all said and done. You got two teams playing in a conference title game for a shot at the college football playoff. And I don't know. I have honestly no idea at this point who would be there. I'm just kind of tickled that BYU, haven't been in the Big 12 very long, and 6-0, 13th in the country.
Can I just say, and I don't want to get into a whole thing here. I really don't, because we've talked about this a lot.
Yeah.
But the idea of BYU being 6-0 and 13th in the country, but not. I mean, they're not in the best league. Okay, no, they're in the Big 12.
They're not.
It's a fun league, but it's not the best league.
No, if they were in the Big 10 and the SEC, they would not be 6-0.
Isn't that sort of a what would be the word? Doesn't that make you think that this situation that Oregon State and Washington State are in, it's actually in some ways better, because this is really exciting for BYU.
Yes.
Whereas if BYU had joined Big Ten,
yeah,
or the Pac, maybe even just the Pac-12,
yeah,
or if Oregon State had joined the Big Ten or whatever, that's just so much tougher.
Yeah.
So when you see them in a league like this and you're having this magical season, like, it doesn't, at least so far, it doesn't take away any of the joy.
No.
No BYU fan is sitting there going, well, this is great, but man, I'd rather be 3-3 in the Big Ten. No, you wouldn't. This is amazing. You will get a chance to play in the college football playoff
It is a very valid point that while it would be awesome to be in the Big Ten and the SEC playoffs and get $75 and $100 million a year, I'm also not naive enough to think that giving that money to BYU would make them on par with Ohio State and Oregon. So to your point, yes, it is a more enjoyable year to play the schedule that we have and a chance to have a magical year where you win 10, 11 games and make a college football playoff than go play in the SEC, because if Texas, Georgia, and Alabama are on our schedule, we're not 6-0 and we're not winning 10 games.
And the Beavs, so, and
it's
I get
a valid
it.
Point.
I get it. The Beavs and Cougs aren't in the Big 12,
yeah,
but they are piecing together, you know, a future in a league like this.
Yeah.
And, you know, Oregon State's 4-2. Mm-hmm. If they were in the Pac-12, or God forbid somehow they got into the Big Ten or the ACC, they wouldn't be 4-2.
No, I think the idea, though, for those fans is, like, maybe they would have a different roster and their coach would have stayed, and, you know, it's all of that stuff. So it's, woulda, coulda, shoulda.
But you get my point.
Yeah, I get your
anyway,
point.
We don't need to belabor that.
No, but I understand where you're coming from, and I'll as a BYU fan, I agree. I'll
see,
take
that,
it.
That is a fun Friday night game.
The BYU fits State better in the Big 12 than we would in the SEC.
Right.
I'm not interested in being the doormat of the SEC. It would suck.
All right, let's look at Saturday's games. Some big ones coming up next. Here's Buck.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, college football weekend look ahead. No show tomorrow.
Nope.
Darn it. Oregon will be on. So we have to look ahead now. I see where the 9 a.m. games. There's a couple good ones.
Yeah, the big nooner I'm actually pretty fired up about.
Well, I don't know which one's the big nooner?
That would be Nebraska.
Oh.
And believe it or not, who I've only gotten to see briefly this year, and I'm intrigued. I try to pay attention to what I think are interesting teams, and they just haven't really played a lot of interesting games. I watched a little bit of when they played UCLA, and I saw a little bit of what was the other one? I think Maryland.
Well, are you going to tell people who you're talking about?
Indiana. Sports is sports.
Hell yeah.
Talking about Indiana.
My Hoosiers.
Your Hoosiers, who,
Google
by the way,
bitch,
are lighting up the scoreboard. They're undefeated. They're 16th in the country. They're 6-0. Right now, they probably have the Big Ten Offensive Player of the Year in Rourke, their quarterback. But so far, they've played Bupkis. I mean, not even a team that is worth even paying attention to. And these next couple games they've got, and by the way, I mean, their schedule is very, very favorable, but they get Nebraska, who Nebraska's pretty good. Nebraska's 5-1, and we kind of wrote them off after the Colorado game, but Nebraska is a solid team, and they got Nebraska, Washington, and then Michigan State, Michigan, Ohio State, so it does get a lot tougher for Indiana, and no one's taking them seriously at this point, but if they beat Nebraska, dude, I mean, it's, you know, pay attention to Indiana. You know, it's a weird year in college football, and dude, Indiana might just have something for some people.
We've talked about your boy Cignetti, the guy who just says, Google me, I win.
Yeah.
He has been a head coach since 2011, and I read today he's only ever lost one time coming off the bye since 2011.
And they're all the James Madison kids. He brought them all there. And
yeah, he was at a couple other places. He was at IUP and Elon before he was at James Madison. But yeah, everywhere he goes.
You know, I've kind of been waiting to, you know, to kind of see people, everyone on the national, you know, shows and podcasts keep talking about Indiana, and I just haven't had a reason to really sit down and watch, and I'm going to plant my ass, and I want to see them play Nebraska, and not that that's the world's biggest test, but if you handle your business against Nebraska, you will officially have my attention.
The other one is that could be an upset. Number 6, Miami, is on the road at 9 a.m. at Louisville.
At Louisville.
And that's Tyler Shuck.
Yep.
And they're 4-2.
And people thought Louisville at the start of the year was going to be a big test for them. Louisville got nicked by Notre Dame by a touchdown and then SMU. So, and we know Miami is living by the skin of their teeth.
It either feels like it's going to all come crumbling down in a giant heap, right, or they're somehow the team of destiny and they just get this like this every week.
Well, look at like Oregon, right? Oregon, those first 2 weeks were beyond sketchy and could have lost both games, should have lost to Boise State. And now you look at Oregon and you put it all together and that's all behind you. Clemson was another one. Beginning of the year, we wrote off Clemson. And be careful writing off teams early in the season, because right now Clemson and old Klubnik there look like a freight train from hell. I mean, they are bludgeoning everybody at this point. So, yeah, I'm interested in seeing what Miami has to bring to the table, and if Miami's going to keep doing this white-knuckle act, or if they're going to get their ass together and start blowing teams out. Because they're 6th in the country, and I'm telling you, they don't look like the 6th best team in the country.
At 12:30, we've got a couple of good ones. One in the Big Ten, Michigan is visiting Illinois, and Illinois is, of course, Oregon's next opponent after the Purdue game.
Yeah.
And that'll be good. They're both ranked.
Yeah, and Michigan benched their quarterback, and they got this Tuttle kid who is like a 7th-year guy, and they didn't close it out against Washington, but all of a sudden, like, he came in and was slinging the ball a little bit. And look, no one's going to confuse him for Will Rogers in that game, but he threw the ball. They actually had the ability to throw the ball. And if Michigan can actually get some semblance of a pass game going, you know, that, because that's one that Oregon has to go on the road later in the year. That's probably their biggest test. And so keep an eye on Michigan if they can develop some sort of passing game.
And this one's juicy in the SEC. Alabama, Tennessee.
Yes.
In Knoxville.
Yep.
Alabama 7, Tennessee 11. This is big because both teams are 5-1. Another loss, and you're in.
Yeah, it's dicey
dangerous
territory.
In order to get into the playoff.
Yep. If you are a SEC or a Big Ten team, two losses doesn't eliminate you, but it needs help. Like if you're a one loss team in the Big Ten or the SEC, you're in. Two losses, it really comes down to now you're going to have to, you're rooting for other people. And by the way, whoever loses this game, there's no guarantee that the rest of the schedule, you go undefeated. And I think both Alabama and Tennessee to start the year did not think they would be in this place, because it's one thing to be 5-1 if you're Bama and Tennessee. But the way it went down, because you sure as hell didn't plan on losing to Vandy, and I'm pretty sure that Tennessee did not see their offense putting up 14 points against Arkansas.
Okay, so this is a scenario that was brought up, and I think it might have been Bartu or somebody brought this up in the preseason, now that we moved to a 12-team tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, so the loser of this game, Alabama, Tennessee,
yep.
Let's say they run the table.
Yeah.
Okay, so they have two losses, but like you said, they don't get the help they need,
yep.
And they do not go to the SEC title game.
Yep.
It might be better for them if they run the table to sit there with two losses than say our path is we have to win the SEC. Well, if you get into the SEC title game and then you lose in that game, even though you accomplished your goal of getting there, you now have three losses and you are likely not going.
Let me state for the record, if the committee has any balls whatsoever, which they don't, but if they did, if that were to happen, and let's say Georgia or Bama has two losses and they get to the SEC title game and they lose in that. If you had any balls whatsoever, you would put them in over a two-loss Tennessee or whoever that was sitting idly by. Nothing pisses me off more than you reward a team for doing nothing when another team has to go and play a top five team.
Oh my God. Did he do it?
Big Christmas!
Oh my goodness.
Merry Christmas!
Tied it up?
Yeah.
Tied it up in the ninth off Luke Weaver.
Oh my. What did we just say? Anytime you tell me that a guy can't be hit in the postseason,
unhittable.
The closer,
best pitcher they got now.
Wow. Dude, he,
playoffs rule.
They really.
These two innings have been awesome.
Yeah, they have.
And like they just had the momentum killing double play right before that.
So let me.
Yeah, paint that picture. I'm watching the Mets game. I didn't see it.
So the Guardians were dead. It's 5-3 Yankees in the ninth, and Luke Weaver's on the hill, demoralized in Cleveland. Leadoff hit, but then that fat ass Josh Naylor grounds into a double play. Mm-hmm. Next guy, so now two outs, nobody on. Luke Weaver, you're done.
You're about to go down 3-9.
Next guy doubles off the wall. And then Big Christmas comes up and just deposits one. Like, he hit that further than Shohei hit his last
tattooed.
Night.
Well, it's hilarious. You said he just did it, and as I turned, the ball was still going.
The replay of that swing.
Yeah,
dude,
he got all of it. No doubter. Pretty cool. Now that game is 5-5 in the bottom of the ninth.
Right?
Anyway, you're right.
There's
isn't
one
it?
Auto bid.
But it's by ranking, though, after that. So the four conference champions, the four Power Four conference champions are the top four seeds.
Yes.
After that, isn't it by ranking 5-12?
No, I think it's the committee.
I don't know about that. I think the committee ranks them.
Yes.
So they can manipulate that. But yeah. I think it's 5-12 in the rankings.
I don't even look that up. Because then you get the one automatic qualifier from one of the group of five.
Yeah, but you don't have anything other than ranking after that.
I think so. I think you're right. I think it
so.
Might
what
just
they would do
the
then
rankings.
Is manipulate because you were talking about their guts. They don't have any. So if they think a three-loss Georgia is better than a two-loss Tennessee because Georgia played in the SEC title game, they will just rank them ahead of Tennessee.
Yes,
to get them in.
And you should. You should not get rewarded.
Yeah.
For not making a title game, sitting by on your hands while another team has to go play. And then gets punished for losing a close game to an elite team. It's just crappy.
The other game you need to know about is also in the SEC. It is the biggest game of the week, and it's a doozy.
And you're right, by the way, real quick. That is official. Is it the 12-team automatic bids for the four, the seven highest-ranked teams remaining out of the round of 12, and then, of course, the highest-ranked group of five.
Number five, Georgia, visits number one, Texas, in Austin, 4:30 on ABC.
And by the way, this is enormous because if Georgia loses and they go to that two loss, and the fact, especially with the head-to-head with Alabama, Georgia does not have a great path to get to the SEC title game, and they still have Ole Miss and Tennessee left on their schedule after this.
I gotta tell you.
This I'm not saying this is an elimination game for Georgia, but if they lose, their odds of making the college football playoff are really, really handicapped here.
I don't think this is the Georgia that we know. And I think that, you know, when I initially saw this, I was like, man, Georgia is an underdog for the first time in 50 games.
Yeah.
And you look at that line and you go, because they're catching five now from Texas. You look at that and go, oh, my God, Georgia all day.
Yeah.
Plus the points.
Yeah.
Should be a good game. That's a team I trust. Great coach. You know, the whole thing. But looking closer at that game, the entire world is lining up on Georgia, which led me down a path of looking at Texas. And I got to tell you, man, I think Texas boat races them. Well, backtrack. They're not going to boat race Georgia, but Texas is going to put up a lot of points on Georgia. Alabama did. Texas's offense is even better, and they have a better defense than Alabama's. I now see why. I guess just looking into the game, I now see why the odds makers have Texas minus five, because I think a lot of people look at that and go, whoa, wait a minute. I'm all over Georgia. Yeah. And the public will probably be all over Georgia. Texas might be the side there.
Yeah. Well, you look at Georgia, and a couple things have happened here. One, we know with the world of NIL and everything, talent has been spread out. Just everyone says it. It's not as condensed. So that's number one. Two, they have been beat up. There has been injuries there. I also think coordinators. You know, we see this all the time, and we think because of Alabama that you can just roll through coordinators and it doesn't have an effect on you. Georgia has lost a lot of coordinators during this run with Kirby Smart. I mean, their offensive coordinator is in Baltimore right now running a really damn good offense. And it just hasn't been the same in some of the early struggles they have.
Well, last I checked, their defensive coordinator is somewhere winning.
Yeah, he's at... somewhere out west,
I'm
right?
I'm cooking on your grill.
Right? Like, and so, you move on from these people and... Lo and behold. Oh, and by the way, 2 years ago, it was arguably the best defense that college football had ever seen. How many guys? I think nine of those guys on that defensive side all got drafted. Lo and behold, it's hard to replace that. And while this isn't a horrible defense, this is not the defense that you're used to seeing out of Georgia. So you throw all those things together and, you know, all of a sudden Georgia doesn't look like this just unstoppable juggernaut. What I want to see out of Texas is... I believe in Texas. I think Texas is the best team in the country. They've proved it so far. But when you look at Texas, and it's weird because they played Michigan, right? Can we all just say that beating Michigan is not like it was a year or two ago? I look at Texas, Colorado State, Michigan, Texas, San Antonio, Louisiana, Monroe, Mississippi State, Oklahoma, and Oklahoma State's offense is dreadful. Oklahoma's is brutal. Remember when Ohio State was playing Oregon and we talked about how that was the number one defense in the country and they had all these great metrics and they had all these, you know, it's great. There may not be like just stars everywhere, but it's a bunch of just NFL dudes and solid bodies. And the numbers were stupid good, but they hadn't played anyone. You could say the same thing about Texas. Texas is not littered with just like these dudes that jump off the page. There's not a lot of weaknesses, and statistically they're number one in basically everything in defense. But this Georgia offense is going to give them problems that no one else has. So I believe in Texas. I think Texas is the right side of this game. I just wonder if maybe there's a little bit of the numbers inflation like we saw with Georgia and Oregon. And when you play someone, not saying they won't win, but this will be by far the stiffest test that Texas defense has seen.
I hear what you're saying, but I oftentimes, no offense to you, I oftentimes... field that the odds makers when they make a line they take stuff like that into consideration. I mean, they're not stupid, they're not in this to lose money, and that's why I think when people look at this line they're going to go,
jeez,
Texas,
they're begging you to take Georgia.
They want you to take Georgia. Everyone will, and watch Texas beat them by double digits. I just, every time I see Georgia this year, it's just not the same Georgia. I mean,
the
pedigree is there, but they're just not the same.
It does not look the same.
All right, we'll empty out this week's Sporting Tickle Trunk next on The Fan. All right, let's empty out the Tickle Trunk here. A couple things. One, we've got the call of the big Christmas home run to tie it in the ninth. This is from the Cleveland?
No, it's not from the... This is just from the TV broadcast. Oh. It's national, but it's still pretty good.
No doubt about that.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Freaking awesome.
By the way, the Yankees got two on in the top of the 10th.
I wouldn't know because our TVs have decided to stop.
Well, I've taken to my phone, and they just got out of it, the Guardians. So they're going to the bottom of the 10th.
Yeah.
5-5 Yankees and Cleveland.
Yeah, the Mets decided to walk Ohtani, and then someone just went ahead and hit him in anyway. So Dodgers up 2-1.
Ah.
That damn Shohei Ohtani.
Tony Bennett retiring.
Yes, not the singer. I think he's, wait.
Well, he's kind of retired.
Did he die?
I don't think so.
He's got dementia.
I think he's still around.
Still around?
Yeah. Right?
You sure about that?
Nope.
I think he's
dead. Checking. Passed away in July of last year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah, Lady Gaga was palling around with him for a while, and she was talking about how he had seen better days. Tony Bennett, by the way, that Tony Bennett?
Legend.
Legend. The Tony Bennett basketball coach?
Pretty good.
Pretty good. Because I saw a legendary coach, and I was like...
Molly won a title.
Does that make you legendary?
Pretty damn good, dude.
I think so.
He went to Virginia. I mean, he won at Washington State.
Yes, he did. So we are saying legendary coach.
I think
you're comfortable with legendary coach.
I just think it's so hard to win an NCAA tournament, even if you do it one time, especially at a non-blue blood school. Yeah, you're a legend there.
Yeah. You're a legend there.
But he's saying, is he a legendary?
Period. That's a tough really bridge close. To cross.
It's really close. His dad was legendary. I think he is.
I don't know.
I think he is.
I don't know.
I'm going to say yes.
When you hear legendary coaches, you think Coach K, you think Dean Smith, you think Bob Knight, you think Patino, Calhoun, Izzo, John Wooden, Bill Self, Tony Bennett.
Hey. Look, I'm not going to lie. It's a tough question.
Right?
But I'm going to say yes because he has been at Virginia longer than you think.
Mm-hmm.
He has won a title, and he was better than you think there. Like, dude, he won like 73% of his games there.
I think I saw 8 ACC titles, 2-time coach of the year.
Come on.
And a national championship.
ACC. Okay. I'm sorry. He went from Washington State.
That's the other thing. The ACC was hard to win.
Yes. He went from Washington State where nobody wins.
Yeah.
He went 69-33 there. He got them to the tournament. Mm-hmm. Has anybody else gotten them to the tournament?
That I don't know.
Well, not since. So then he leaves and everybody here, I remember it. We were on the air. Mm-hmm. It's like, why is he going to Virginia? What the hell is Virginia? Well, Virginia, he goes there and he has a couple of rough years. Then within 4 years, he's winning 30 games. And within 9 years, he wins a title in the ACC.
I'm looking here.
Or I mean from the ACC.
No, I could be reading this wrong. I believe he only went to one Final Four. And that was the year he won the national championship.
Yeah, I think that's right. He has the dubious distinction of the
early.
First one seed to lose to a 16 seed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then won the title the next year.
The next year.
I'm just saying.
Those teams, 66-6, those two teams.
Yeah. 4-time ACC coach of the year, 1-time Pac-10 coach of the year.
And by the way, 4-time ACC coach of the year against Roy Williams and Mike Krzyzewski.
Yeah. All right,
he's a legend.
Look, I was just merely you see, you're hedging your bet.
No, I told you if you would you listen to me.
You said
said it's a really good question and it's close, but I have done the math. Yeah. I've done the science. I think he's a legend.
Then I want you to say legendary coach
Tony Bennett.
Yeah, because you kept doing that weird thing where you're like, yeah,
he's
a legend.
Better check their hypotenuses.
But
dude.
You wouldn't say legendary coach.
You're so obnoxious. Yeah. I think he is a legend.
See, you're doing it again. I think. Just stop.
You asked me what I
stop think. Stop qualifying and just say legendary coach Tony
we
Bennett.
Think.
Quit putting in your qualifiers, you son of a bitch.
I hate you so much.
How about we do a brief pause because I now have the Cleveland radio call of Big Christmas. Christmas. It's also
this
pretty darn
gonna
good.
This is going to sound like some old guy who's
I hope
like,
so.
Well, you will remember his voice from the Down Goes Anderson Jose Ramirez fight. You'll know. Do you remember those guys? Like, that's where I'm like, where do I know that voice? Oh, because of that epic call.
John Kenton's last home run came against Pittsburgh August 30th. No time like the present. 5-3 Yankees, runner at second, two down, ninth inning, and the 1-0 pitch. Swung out and hammered! High, deep to left! Away out of here! Bedlam in Cleveland! John Kenzie Noel! A tape measure job to the bleachers in left. We are tied at 5!
Ooh, I like that.
Love it.
I love the Bedlam in Cleveland line, yeah. And then tied at 5. That guy's great. By the way, do you think the NIL thing, you know, Tony Bennett He's 55 years old. Yeah. He steps down at Virginia. I wonder if, because if we think of Virginia in football, we go, oh, dude, they're not going to keep up with the SEC teams mm-hmm. or whatever. You think maybe the NIL thing has something to do with him calling it quits? Because that had a lot to do with like Jay Wright and Roy Williams. Those guys, they don't want to deal with this new college basketball.
I think there are plenty of coaches that have made their name, have enough money. I just think we talked about this in college football. I think it's a young man's game. I think it's, you have to be obsessive. You have to be the Dan Lannings. You have to be one of those, with the Indiana coach.
Signetti?
Signetti. Like, you're an animal. You just live, breathe this stuff.
You can sleep when you die.
Yeah. And I think there are some people that have some perspective, the Chris Petersons of the world, the Tony Bennett's, it doesn't shock me that, Coach K,
walk off
and guys like that just say enough's enough.
Did you see that? Who hit that?
I don't know. I got the same TV issues.
Yeah, they had a guy on third with two out, but
David Fry just hit a walk-off.
David Fry walk-off.
Off of Clay Holmes. Yeah. In your face, Yankees. Yep. Boy, they blew it. They were going to be up 3-0. Yes. They were crazy.
What a game.
We got a series. That was a game.
I would have loved to have seen
it. I mean, really just the eighth inning on is all you needed, but that
was
awesome.
Damn, dude. I'm
trying to see if I can find this on Twitter.
Do you think Virginia will try to get a West Coast guy? Like, do you think, like, Altman or...
I don't know. Like the question because when Bennett took that job, we all went, excuse me, Virginia. And Bennett said, hey, I can win here. And he did. He won a national title there. But is Virginia a great job?
I think it is.
Is it? Okay.
I mean, he won a title there.
Better, Altman wouldn't leave Oregon for Virginia.
You wouldn't think. No, probably not.
Altman, to me, seems like one of those guys. I wonder when he's going to be tired of the way this game is being played. Not like, he's a great coach, and he even said going into this year he's had to kind of adjust how he does things, and it's a different time, but he seems like one of those guys from the Jay Wright era.
For sure.
Older dudes who's like, this is just not what I first signed up for.
Yeah, you could see him hanging it up, too.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of other West Coast guys. Like, Mark Few wouldn't go there.
No, God, no. I mean, they're
in the Pac-12.
They're in the Pac-12 now. They're in the Pac-12.
Although somehow Few seems like he would fit in Charlottesville. I don't know what that. I mean,
yeah. I don't know.
Little
obviously,
small little private institution.
Obviously, they have a good pitch. They were able to get Tony Bennett.
Yeah. Still trying to find the damn home run.
I'm telling you, it happened.
I want to see it,
David Fry. Clay Holmes was in there.
It bothers me that we are in a top 25 studio doing a sports radio show, and I can't see the damn home run.
And we're in like a top 5 sports window of the year right now with like playoffs and a whole bunch of other stuff going on. And
meanwhile, of course, it shuts down Comcast. Now.
Did you just call this a top 25 studio? Like in what?
Well, market.
Oh, the market.
We're not in Asheville, North Carolina.
He's got 24 other studios that he really likes, and this is somewhere in that mix.
Yeah.
Like, what?
We're the Illinois right now of sports radio studios. I mean, God, I just want to see the walk-off.
All right. Club Tenny.
Oh, here it is. I found it.
Halloween costumes and sexiest animals. Next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.